this is Liz.
And this is Kim.
Thanks for joining us for episode 22 of Keep Up with Liz and Kim. This is the last episode of season one. How in the world have we been doing this for a year?
It has flown by so fast, but I just love all the conversations we have had with our local business owners, with the different organizations, learning more about the people who really are the behind-the-scenes individuals who make Ada what it is.
And we hope you guys, too, have learned a lot more about the people of Ada, the businesses of Ada, and just got an introduction into behind the scenes, like you said.
Yeah, I think it personalizes it so much more. Mm-hmm. Even though we know a lot of the business owners, we learn something new with each podcast. And that's what we're hoping for the listeners, too. When you go into a business, you may remember a conversation that we had with that owner, and it just makes it feel more personal.
It does. And yeah, it just creates that whole community feel of Ada.
Most definitely. So now we will launch season two sometime in September. So you have a little bit over a month to go back and catch up on the old episodes, check them out, learn a little bit more about the people behind the scenes here in Ada, and then watch for us to start posting about who's going to be our first guest for season two.
So be ready for an awesome season in 2024.
All right. Today on the podcast, our guest is Vonnie Woodrick from I Understand. After the loss of her husband, Rob, in 2003, Vonnie's life was forever changed as she was forced to live a life without her loving partner and the father of their three children. Feeling as if no one understood suicide, the effects mental health can have, and the judgment attached, Vonnie set out to change attitudes and the conversation. These efforts led to the formation of I Understand in 2014. We are very excited to have Vonnie on the show today.
All right, we are super excited to have Vonnie here with us. Vonnie, we always joke, the hardest question at the beginning is just tell us a little bit about yourself and I Understand.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm happy to be here, number one. And I have been a part of Ada. I think we lived in Ada for 30 plus years and having our office just right outside of downtown Ada with I Understand allows me to continue to be a part of Ada for so many years. So I started I Understand because I lost my husband to depression, and it's hard to believe it's been 20 years. And I Understand is a nonprofit that supports those that have lost a loved one to death by suicide or living with a mental brain health illness. And one of my passions is bringing the conversation to everyday places like this one to normalize the conversation and allow people to reach out and not be afraid of the stigma and the judgment that's attached.
It's a hard topic, especially in today's world, too. We're seeing, and you probably know this, a lot more of that, the depression and all of that coming out of COVID. It really did something to us.
Yeah, you know, COVID had such an effect. And the one thing positively I think that COVID did with mental health and mental wellness is it allowed more people to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because of COVID, we're talking so much more. And I believe the more we talk, the more we know, the more we can help others and not be afraid to reach out ourselves if we are struggling.
Yeah. That's a great point. There is a lot of positives that came out of COVID, 100%, and that is one of them.
Yeah, there was so much isolation in COVID, and I think this is such an important conversation to have. As many of you may not know, I worked with Vonnie for a while, and we first met when I was at the Ronald McDonald House, where families whose children were seeking mental health treatment would be staying at the house. And the resources that you provide through your support groups and just getting the conversation out there, care packages, are so important. And I think that people just feeling like they can be embraced and talk openly is the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, thank you for being a part of I Understand for as long as you were. We miss you, but we're so happy to see you in Ada because I really think you found your groove.
Yeah.
And you're doing a great job. So I'm happy to be working with you again on this podcast. But yes, the resources are so important. And bringing that conversation to everyday places like we do with community partners like Meyer, like Michigan State University College of Human Resources, Celebration Cinema, Big B, really helps us get that word out in a less stigmatizing way.
For sure. And I think just every one of us knows somebody who has lost someone to suicide or knows someone personally. And it is something that is a part of our everyday conversations now. So
yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I think that if you haven't been affected by mental brain health illnesses or suicide loss, sadly, eventually you will. And I think one statistic that was really kind of alarming to me, we talk about losing 45,000 people a year to suicide.
Wow.
But that's over a million people since Rob died 20 years ago. Uh-huh. And that's what makes me sad and breaks me heart, which is really drives my passion to get the conversation out there to change it and get others to reach out for help.
Most definitely. And now you're celebrating 10 years of I Understand, and you have some fun celebrations going on this year. Tell us a little bit more about those.
Yes, it's hard to believe it's 10 years. And so it's hard to believe that I have another milestone birthday coming up in honor of my birthday. I started simply by giving t-shirts away. And we are celebrating this year. One is in downtown Ada on August 10th at 10 a.m. We are having a Celebrate Hope. Hope is our Pink Heart mascot. And so it's Hope's birthday party. And one of the things that I feel like is really important to do is that we bring this conversation to children as young as we can. Suicidal ideation now is starting at 5 years old. And the suicide rate from ages 10 years old to 34, suicide is a second leading cause of death. So it's really important that we start these conversations talking about emotions, talking about what it feels like when I feel angry. And also, more importantly, I think it's that we talk to parents. Well, what do you do when your child is acting like a tornado? Because we're using some weather elements to relate to children. So bringing Hope to downtown Ada with some of Hope's best friends. We have Wimmy, the PBS character, coming. We have Star Wars characters. I think there's going to be Darth Vader, Stormtroopers, R2-D2. So that's going to be a lot of fun for kids, a meet and greet with them. We have Brody B's providing iced coffee and iced tea for the parents. We have Jim Dandy and the Fancy Pants.
Very
He's
fun.
Going to be singing. There's the beautiful song that Hope will be dancing to and hopefully getting the kids to dance to, and it's called Love and Kindness. And then we also have Feral Yogi, and she'll be doing some kids yoga. And then we have games and prizes and some other community partners like Hope Network, the Grand Rapids Children's Museum. So I feel like that was a long-winded answer to that question.
That's great.
But we love being in downtown Ada, and we are really excited to be at Legacy Park. And then the second one is we have our annual event in September. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year, and we're really highlighting the past 10 years and how far we've come. I have my kids actually involved in that. I think it's going to be a little emotional, but I also hope that it gives people hope of how far you can come and what you can do in finding ways that we can honor our loved ones that have passed and support those that are living with that illness or the struggle.
So definitely, yeah, if you guys are around in Ada, definitely attend those events. That would be great. So Vonnie, every time I see you, you're wearing pink.
Really?
Yes, almost every time. So can you tell our listeners why pink?
I love pink.
Okay.
But the reason that I love pink is because it represents the color of unconditional love. So that's all about loving ourselves enough to reach out for help and support when needed, or loving each other just the way they are and accepting each other. But sometimes I do wear blue. And it really shocks people, because I also want to remind people that sometimes we feel blue and things aren't always happy. And we have to be able to, when we're feeling that blue, is to reach out for help and know that help is available 24/7 simply by calling or texting 988.
So that all makes sense why Yes. You wear pink all the time and blue, which I absolutely love it. And I think, too, you just brought up a really good point that on social media, right? Social media is a hot topic when it comes to like mental health is... On social media, life is perfect for everybody, and that is not true, right?
That is absolutely not true.
Yes. So you wear pink all the time, but when you wear blue, you're stating the fact that, like, it's not always happy. You know, everybody has their ups and downs, and that's a great way through color. Yeah. It's to showcase that. And I think a lot of these 20s and 30-year-olds, it's hard to understand that Instagram life is not real life.
That is absolutely
right?
True.
Right.
In fact, Instagram and social media cause a lot of issues and a lot of sadness and a lot of depression.
Have you seen that through all of the work you've done in the last 10 years? Because social media is much more prominent now than it was, you know, even 5 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it's really sad how our young people that are using social media and relying on it for their highs of the day, but it's also really, really pushing the lows of their day. And how do you feel as a teenager or young child, or sometimes even an adult? I feel that way. Like, your friends are all out together, but they left you out. Mm-hmm. Or the bullying that happens that nobody else can see, but they're attacking our young, or like I said, even adults, because bullying just isn't for kids, it's for adults too. But I definitely have seen an increase in that.
Yeah. It's tough because it's 24/7, and I know there are some school systems now doing cell phone free zones where the kids do not have their cell phones all day. And at first, the kids have a hard time adapting, but then when they interview them a month later, they say that they're so much happier at school because they're engaged with their friends and they're not looking at their phones all day, and they're not worrying about every time it beeps that there's a notification and who's saying what and who's doing what. So I think it does give us pause to all step back and think about how social media, it's wonderful for us to promote our events and to stay connected. However, we have to look at how it's affecting youth especially.
Yep, that is a really good point.
Yes.
Yeah, and I even read, and I don't know the number or the statistic, but the amount of times we touch our phone a day, and the statistic was insane. But then when you start looking at yourself, right. And like, I'm in the marketing world. So yes, like notifications and different accounts and all that. It's crazy. And
it is crazy. And I think it's like really rude. Like, we could be here sitting here having a conversation, and then all of a sudden the Apple Watch goes off and everybody's looking at their app. And I'm like, right. Did you even hear what I said?
Yeah. Right.
You know, so it's somewhat of a disrespect to the person that's in front of you or next to you. Like, whoever or whatever is coming in on my phone is more important than you.
Yeah. And that's a great statement for all of us to pay attention to that, because I know I'm guilty of it 100%. Just what's going on in my day-to-day life. And
right. Yeah. We have to remind ourselves to be in the moment and to really be intentional when we're talking to other people about listening and being truly fully there in the conversation.
Yeah. So what have been some of your biggest challenges you've faced in running a nonprofit?
Well, where do I start? No, I feel like I have been so fortunate to have the support that I have given, that I have had. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's because we talk about the lived experience and what it's like. We're not using a lot of statistics. We're really talking about how I felt, and you felt that same way. But I think the biggest challenge isn't really about necessarily running the nonprofit. The biggest challenge for me is the emotions that come out of some of the work that I do, because it's every day. And it could be a lot of people just wanting to talk, people giving my phone number out saying, will you help this person? That has been the most difficult challenge for me, because I don't want to say no. Yeah. And I want to be able to help and support if I can. Yeah. But I'm not a therapist. I'm a life coach, but I'm not a therapist. Yeah. And there's other people that I need to guide them to, but I could be stuck on the phone for 2 or 3 hours just making sure somebody's safe. And so setting up boundaries, mm-hmm. That has been really difficult, and probably the most challenging thing that I do in my day-to-day.
Well, and you're mentally taking on those emotions as well. It's hard to not do that in the field that you're in. So
yeah, well, it's tough. Triggering. Yeah. It could be triggering for my husband has been gone for 20 years, and it's really hard to believe that. But at 20 years later, I can still be triggered by a comment, a statement, a song. I'm triggered just by my children when they get married, when they graduated. There's all of these moments that other people are sharing as a whole family, and we have a hole in our heart. So when somebody else is experiencing that, I feel those same emotions, like not for me, but for them, because I know exactly what they're feeling. And for me, that can be very emotional.
And yeah. how do you handle that? Like for any other mom, grandma, anything, father that's right. out there and is dealing with that kind of stuff, how do you handle that, those triggering moments?
I cry. You have to cry. You have to get it out. You have to have your person that you can go to. But you need to find what works for you. I need to find quiet moments. Like one of them, I find so much peace at Roselle Park because that's where Rob's memorial is. I can go to Roselle Park and walk, and I can look silly because I talk. And people could probably say, who is she talking to? But I talk and walk, and I feel comfort. I feel I might see a red-tailed hawk. I might see an eagle. And that brings me peace, and that brings me comfort. But I also think there's things I tap. There's something called tapping. It's the emotional freedom technique. And I usually have my red, my pink. Where was red coming from? My pink heart stress ball with me. And oftentimes during an interview like this, I'll have my stress ball and I'll just be like squeezing it. So it really is individually finding what that is. But get out and do something and find something. Because if you don't, you can get swallowed up in those negative or hard emotions.
Yes, most definitely. I think it's important to find what works for you and where you can find comfort and support. And so at this point, I want to bring up, you did write a book, and that a lot of people have valued because you very openly and candidly shared your story in that book. And a lot of people have found it a wonderful resource. And now you are going to be publishing a second book. And it's something we had talked about a lot. It's the power of sharing. Yeah. And I think that when people can, you know, peel back and just really share their story, it is extremely powerful. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, my first book I'm really proud of because it is in 52 units of the Michigan Sheriff's Association with 574 advocates. And that means a lot to me because my story and what I went through and how I got through is helping others that have gone through a very similar loss. And so through my 10 years at I Understand, I have heard so many stories, and not everybody has a platform to share. And I wanted to give people that inspired me through their story that opportunity to share their story. And so there's 22 different people with different stories that I love. And watching them being able to have this platform to share, so often there's people that don't know, like, I was an alcoholic. I lost my dad to suicide. I'm schizophrenic, but look at how far I've come. I mean, these stories are in this book providing hope. And truly, I hope that you are going to find that power of sharing and not be afraid to share your own. Because once you do, it like releases you from this prison that has held you captive.
And just knowing you're not alone. Right?
Yes.
So many people think that they sit on this island, and no one does. You know, everybody, there is somebody out there to talk to, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And that comes out in September.
Okay.
So we'll have it at our September event.
Oh, awesome.
But also, there will be another one released in 2025.
Oh, we're getting...
It's in the editing process right now. And that one is similar to the first book, but it expands.
Okay.
So...
Well, that's exciting news.
Book number three.
You heard it. Well, heard it here first.
Yeah, it's actually, so I have a children's book, Marshmallow Clouds, and I also have a small inspirational book that Change Can Be Beautiful. So it's actually book number five.
Wow. Look at you go.
Well, I'm just grateful that some people, you know, if one person finds it helpful, then it has been worth it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is allowing me to get the story and share other people's story to truly make a difference, I hope.
Most definitely.
Excellent. All right, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. So I know you've spent time in Ada. Mm-hmm. If you were to spend your perfect Saturday outside of your event here in Ada, what would you do?
Well, there's so many things that I love about Ada. And just being a part of it for so many years has been such a privilege. And to have known so many people, I don't even want to pick like one or two of what I would do. So let's just say, okay, so my week in Ada. I'll go for a walk at Roselle Park.
There you go.
A quick lunch is at Fruition.
Yeah.
A lunch, my favorite place for lunch is Ada Grill because I have a history with Ada Grill too, and I love their sandwiches and salads.
Yes.
A breakfast meeting would be at Mud Penny. Of course, I get my hair done and I do a little bit of shopping at the James Salon. I have two grandbabies, so Tiptoes is always fun. Zeiten, you know, Toronto's on our board. Have enjoyed Zeiten for so many years. So on a perfect Saturday, it would be so hard to choose.
I love it.
So I'll just go, you know, throughout the week to all of these places.
There you go. Sounds pretty great.
I know. It is great. And I know that I'm missing some, but, you know, because we can't forget the library.
Right.
I mean, my little granddaughter comes to story time every week. So there's a lot of things that we truly, truly do love about Ada.
This is a wonderful conversation, and I really think people are going to feel connected to you. But how can they get connected with you, you know, via Instagram or Facebook or website? What are those platforms?
Yeah, so I understand loveheals.org, Facebook, I understand Love Heels. Instagram. I mean, they're all, I understand Love Heels. And then you can connect with me, info@iunderstandloveheels.org.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Well, this is great, Vonnie. Thank you so much.
Oh my God. Thank you guys. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Well, that was a wonderful interview with Vonnie. Of course, always a hard topic, but something that we need to start talking about, and I think it was great that we started here.
Mental health awareness is so important and the conversations around it. And I think always one of the most shocking things to me is how suicide ideation keeps happening with younger and younger children. So it's just a great reminder that it's important to talk about feelings. It's important to let kids express themselves and to have these conversations.
Most definitely. And if you want to connect with Vonnie again, make sure you listen to that where she gave all of her information on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, website, all of that. And she will be a wonderful resource if you are going through any of that.
And they do a lot out in the community. They are at the Ada's Farmers Market every Tuesday. Stop by their booth or join in on one of their many events.
Well, Kim, should we jump into the fast five?
Let's do it.
All right. Number one, community day for Ada Hotel. We touched on it on our last podcast, but it is August 20th at 10:30. Join us, come hear from the people behind the scenes of the Ada Hotel, get a tour by AHC, who will be running the hotel, and really experience the hotel via the community.
Yes, and looking forward towards the fall, this is one I'm excited about. Explore the history of the fur trade that took place in Ada 200 years ago. History comes alive as you experience the camp and the traders there. Interact with the descendants of Ricks Robinson, who took over Ada's trading post in 1821. This event is September 13th and 14th at the Ada History Center, and you can find more information on their website.
Number three, the tent and sidewalk sale happening on August 23rd and 24th. The biggest sale of the season from all of your favorite retail stores. Don't miss it. There'll be some sales in the stores, on the sidewalks, some in the parking lot. So definitely come down August 23rd, 24th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on both of those days and enjoy the biggest sales of the season.
Yes, the best deals of the year. Do not miss it. All right, it is not too early to start planning your costume for Pumpkin Prowl. It is going to be on Friday, October 25th this year. Mark your calendar. This year's event is going to be even more pumpkin-licious with all kinds of pumpkin activities, hundreds of businesses to trick-or-treat from the brick-and-mortar businesses, our storefronts, as well as businesses on River Street and in the parking lot across from the garage bar. It's going to be fantastic. We'll hope to see you there.
I cannot believe we're talking about fall, but again, another event coming this fall is October 3rd, the Fall Festival. We moved it to Thursday night, definitely because of the feedback for Friday. Everybody's got sports going on. We totally get it. So let's have a Fall Festival on a Thursday night. Join us at Legacy Park for a ton of different activities, events, touch a truck, the police will be there, face painting, all the things. So join us on October 3rd.
It will be another fun time. I love Fall Festival, and we hope to see you there. And if you want to keep up with what is happening in ADA, learn about the businesses, and participate in our upcoming events, follow Discover ADA and the ABA on social media, and subscribe to this podcast.
All right, as usual, thanks for listening. I'll try to keep up.